Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, Norman Gunston in the 1980s, the Gillies Report in the 90s, the 7:30 Report's John Clark and Brian Dawes today, we have always had a place for the political satire show. Well, now there is another one. Another show that's poking its tongue at the pollies. It's not the return of CNNN. It is Sean McAuliffe's show, Newstopia, and Mark Hadley has taken a look.
G'day, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, well, probably got square eyes from so much television lately, but I've done okay.
Do you mainly record your shows and watch them afterwards, or do you watch them live?
Well, the sad thing is I watch some live while recording others and downloading others on the computer, yeah. So that when television actually shuts off and goes into the boring zone, there I am over some other medium. Just sort of squinting away.
Yeah. Square eyes indeed. First impressions.
Well, Newstopia is a really good program. I mean, off the top of the bat, you know, Sean McAuliffe is good. He's one of, you know, Australia's greatest sort of satirical geniuses. And he actually does a really good job in Newstopia of not just making fun, but actually bringing out meaning in the way he's making fun. It's the sort of joke that you laugh at first off, and then you stop and go, oh. And I love that sort of humour.
So give us a bit of an overview of what he's doing. How many stories is he covering in Newstopia each
time? Well, basically, Newstopia is set up like a news bulletin. It's almost like Rob Sitch's front line. You know, there is Sean McAuliffe actually sitting behind the news desk, and you've got this great roll-in of the spinning globe and the facts going over it, and then the deep voice line that comes in, you know, and says really quite improbable news lines, and again, you end up laughing at halfway through as you start to realise what exactly he's saying.
Give us some examples.
Some of the best examples, I think, are things like Serbia says it doesn't recognise Kosovo because it's wearing a false beard. Or Hanif, slap in the face for Aussie hospitality. Yeah. And things like that, you know, or poll rigging tampered with, claims Mugabe. You know, and you've got to think about that one.
Poll rigging tampered with.
Yeah, poll rigging tampered with, says Mugabe, you know, the master of poll rigging. And so it is a sense where you get a good laugh and then you start to think to yourself, oh, you know, there's humour underneath that and there's also intelligence. There's some wit in it. You know, like every line is well thought out. And there's nothing like a cheap laugh. You know, something has clearly been scripted and thought through, so no blue humour is just thrown in there for the heck of it, or casual mockery, or the classic Seinfeld, what's with that? You know, there's none of that sort of humour. It's really well thought out stuff.
All right, now that raises a good issue. What is the difference between satire and mockery? Because one would take a politician, put them up and laugh at them. Another one would take a politician, put them up and laugh at them. What's the difference?
Well, actually, I think it's a really good point to make, because there's a lot of television out there at the moment that claims to be satire. And in fact, it becomes this sort of like, you know, ubiquitous excuse. Oh, we're satirizing him. You know, it's not like we're actually just poking fun at him for the heck of it. There are serious issues we're making through our comedy. But I actually don't think that's the case. Look, I think that there's a whole swathe of television that's better described as mockery. And the difference is basically this, you know, that satire puts something up so that we can actually see its faults. It makes its faults laughable. But mockery just puts something up and laughs at it. One points out the problems, the other one just points and laughs. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, like that sort of mockery is kind of bully humour. You know, it's, and I've talked about this before. There are lots of programs that do it. I think, you know, a grab bag of very popular comedy programs in Australian history recently, some of the Chaser variations, the Glass House, Good News Week's back on with Paul McDermott, and they make a trade out of this sort of mocking.
Just kind of laughing at people.
Yeah, more like, and another characteristic of mockery versus satire is absolutely incisive in the way it sort of picks things apart. So it's really random, and it actually chooses its targets differently. So the targets are really quite clear. You know, it's the politician, you know, who's put himself up, who's actually got a fair go at being mocked, or the religious leader, or, you know, the community person who's put themselves in the public profile. And then often it's also the people who hold these opinions. So they'll go the other way around. And you'll see a satirist is not afraid to laugh at himself. Mm-hmm. So you look at the John Clark, Bruce Dawes sort of interviews that used to come after the 7:30 Report, and they were laughable for holding the opinions themselves. Are quite happy to laugh at themselves. McAuliffe in Newstopia sets himself up as the fool, you know, and so we get a sense of, hey, you know, it's really foolish to hold an opinion like that, even though he maintains it.
So it really does make you think. Sounds like a bit of a change of topic, but you have to wonder, what would Jesus laugh at?
Well, actually, I think it's a really hard topic and a good one to ask, because you see, you know, if you're a believer like myself and you sit down and watch television, you know, you feel a bit Jekyll and Hyde, because sometimes you're watching stuff you know, and you're having a good laugh at it. Yeah. And then you walk away from the television and you go, yeah, but I believe this, and maybe I feel a bit bad about watching that. And I think the question's got to be asked, you know, what can Christians laugh at? And so, you know, if a Christian wants to know what they should laugh at or what they think is funny, you know, maybe they should think about what Jesus thinks is funny. So it's
Which is a
natural connection.
Great question, because on an initial skimming through of the Gospels, you may not actually have a sense that Jesus had a sense of humour, but when you look deep within, you actually find that he did.
Well, there's all sorts of humour within there, and I actually think that this is one of the good things to point out to people who think that Jesus was the original stuffed shirt or stuffed toga, I don't know. You know, just, you know, prim, proper, no-nonsense sort of guy. Actually, Mark Driscoll's a sort of famous American preacher, and he points out that no guy can basically go on a camping trip for 2 years with 12 other guys and not develop a sense of humour or express himself in that time. You just wouldn't last. Not with a bunch of fishermen, for Pete's sake. Jesus makes lots of jokes. He makes witty remarks. He makes comments about, say, James and John. You know, he nicknames them the Sons of Thunder. You know, he's having a go at their sort of attitude towards other people. He's got to think very careful about being these gun-toting evangelists, if you like. and he points to, he uses sort of more cutting stuff with some of his opponents. Herod, he refers to as that fox Herod. You know, he's sort of giving him a bit of a title there. Or he's also looking at the religious leaders of the day and he's saying, you know, you guys strain out gnats, but you swallow camels. Now, just as an aside, I can't see Jesus delivering a line like that and not working in a bit of physical comedy. You can't say strain out gnats and swallow a camel without even moving your hands. Sure. You know, it just makes no sense. So Jesus actually has a point to it. But in my mind, the humour that Jesus likes, I think, is the sort of humour that actually serves a purpose. It levels the proud. And it makes the humble feel at home, so to speak. And they realise that, you know, they're not so bad at all in terms of, like, the rest of us all in the same boat.
Jesus the satirist.
I think so.
One last question then, back to the topic of Newstopia then. Your final verdict?
You've got about 3-4 more weeks of Newstopia and you'd be doing yourself a real disservice if you didn't watch it.
Okay. Mark Hadley, thank you. Mark Hadley from Anglican Media there. The openhouse.net.au blog site has the full review from Mark. Also, his own website, christianity.net.au. You should go and take a look at that for lots of reading, pondering pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.